Let's
So,
go.
Mahalo. Welcome to the Slime Wire podcast. And shit, I forgot which number we're on.
What?
Fuck. Do you know?
Fuck. No, I have no idea. You're the time master of the show.
You should know. You should know at this point that I'm not the time master. That I don't. I'm not aware of these things. Here, I'm looking it up right here. Yeah. I know. This is my show. You're just on it. This is episode 2836, baby, and this is SlimeWire's official appeal to the Galactic Federation. I am your host, yes. Tritonti2, broadcasting out of Portland, Oregon, or, you know, I don't know what the Galactic Federation calls my area of the woods. They might call it, like, Gleeknock 4 or some shit. But I'm here. I'm joined, of course, by Ikemen Sensei. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Mahalo, everyone. I'm Ikemen Sensei. Y'all know me and love me. I'm coming at you from Shikoku, Japan. And I'm feeling a little under the weather today. If the aliens do come, then I'm a goner. I'm not going to have the will or the strength to run away.
Well, from what I've heard, there's like an area of the world that is supposed to be attacked, and what they're going to do. So this is a little, just an intro to what we've been talking about. We're talking about a very specific form of internet culture, specifically alien lore, internet culture, and what's called schizo posting on X, which is the 4chan paranormal board, which I've been getting into it. You know, it's kind of triggering for me, you know, like I deal with a lot of like mental health and stuff, and like diving really deep into this shit probably isn't good for me, but I've said, fuck it. I'm gonna go real deep into this shit, even though I really haven't gotten really deep into this shit. But anyway, so what I've heard is that there is an area of the world that is to be attacked, and you can look at it on a map, and it's a large amount of North America, Europe, Asia, Africa is completely safe. Australia is completely safe. South America is completely safe.
Japan?
It's fucked. It's fucked just like me. We're both fucked. And supposedly what's supposed to happen...
What?
...that they're going to release nanobots into our bloodstream that cause us to experience excruciating pain for days until we explode. So that's what you got to look forward to tomorrow. This is all supposed to happen tomorrow on July 18th. But I guess it's technically July 18th where you are right now.
It is. And yeah, so we're looking good over here.
Well, you're hungover, so maybe that's the nanobots creeping into your system.
I am very... Yeah, I mean, I'm more hungover than I usually am. Maybe that's their plan, to make everybody more hungover than they usually get.
Yeah.
And be too tired and put off to resist the invasion.
But before we get into the aliens, let's just let's break it down and let's see where we're at. So you're hungover. Is that the only interesting thing that's happened to you recently? I know you had a job interview yesterday. How did that go?
Yeah, I had a job interview. I talked to the guy. I felt that it went okay. Until the very end when he asked me if I had questions to ask him. And this is where I always flub up on a job interview, because I never prepare quite right. Because I know that it's good to have a lot of questions, because then it means that you give a shit about the job, right? So,
well, I mean, job interviews are designed to make you feel like a dumbass, you know. They're designed to flub you up and see how you deal under pressure. That's a very aesthetic jacket you've got on, by the way. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah, dude, it's lit. Yeah, I love this thing. It's very cool.
Nice.
It's got this picture of a dog on it. This is a Japanese pun. I'm not going to explain it right now. It would take too long. But, I called the guy, and, you know, while we were, like, talking, it's for, like, this private school. And like the money's good, so I really want to get it. Really want to get this job, Morgan. If I get this job, it's going to be really good. And so while I was emailing the guy, I just assumed that it was just some strange old Japanese man that I was going to be talking with, like an old Japanese guy. I don't know why I assumed that. Because when I went in, it was this fucking jacked, hot, ripped-looking Japanese guy. And that threw me off for a second, just how hot he was and how cool he looked. And so I was like, oh, shit, this guy looks really cool. Am I going to be able to do a good job? But, you know, he was like, oh, my sister used to go to Oregon State University. And I was like, oh, shit, no way.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oregon, blah, blah, blah. So he shot the shit. Yeah, I kind of got an in there. Pretty good. So I'm looking forward to it. If I get that job, then my salary will remain the same, which is exactly what I want. And I'll get to move to Osaka. So that's chill. And then last night, I went out to fucking a goodbye party for a bunch of the people that are leaving. And we went to this club. A bunch of people canceled, so the girl who put it together felt really, really bad. And was like, why didn't anybody come to my party? And
rough.
So that sucked. But then we all went out to this club, and nobody knew that it was like this like Tokushima-based hip-hop group that was playing that night.
A so Japanese just hip-hop group?
It was like the Japanese underbelly of Tokushima that came to see this show, and so it was just a bunch of hoodlums and miscreants and lugabouts.
It was pretty cool.
I met a couple of them.
Go ahead, finish what you're saying.
No, please offer your input.
I don't remember if you were there, but I think a couple New Year's ago, I went out with you know, all our buds, and we went to Kelly's Olympian to see a hip-hop show on New Year's, and there was a big Portland rapper named RC Spitta there, and I actually met him outside of the show. He was draped in a blanket or over his shoulders. It was very weird, and I talked to him, and he said that his biggest musical influence was The Fray, which I thought was very weird because he has like a lot of gunshots in his songs and it's very hood. But he was like, yeah, man, I love The Fray. Yeah. And you know, I'm going to start writing more songs and singing more. And I was like, man, just hit me with that hard shit. Like, I really don't care. But so I hope that the Japanese rappers are harder than Portland rappers is what I would say.
Well, so what was happening was as the show progressed, you know, I couldn't understand a goddamn word they were saying. They were rapping their songs too fast. They were using a bunch of weird street slang. And I was like, I don't know what this any of this means.
They were using a lot of curse words, and they were referring to women in derogatory ways.
Yeah. They were saying like, yeah, yo, I'm going to disrespect you. I'm going to give you a gift that's worth less than the monetary value of the gift that you gave me for Christmas. You know, that kind of Japanese shit. And, So while they were going, I was like, damn, these guys are pretty good. Like, this is pretty lit. Like, this is pretty awesome. They seemed like they were flowing. They had a good flow going on. And then the Japanese guy that I was with, that I went with, that speaks perfect English, he leaned over to me and he's like, yo, these guys suck. These guys are awful. They're not even rhyming. They're just saying things.
He's an old head. So, Japanese old head.
No. What was happening was that they didn't even know how to like rap at all. They weren't rhyming there. Like, you know, yeah. So,
well, a lot of American rappers don't rhyme. Like, that's pretty normal.
No, this is different. It's different. They sucked, I guess. Apparently they sucked, but I was having a good time. And then I drank a bunch of beers and now I'm hungover as shit. So anybody listening out there? Sorry if I'm not giving it 100% today.
You're going to have to, baby, because we got a lot of important stuff to talk about. But what I would say...
Yeah, you're right.
So, something interesting that happened to me, like, literally earlier today, just a few hours ago, I got off work. I've had, like, a couple very long days at work. I'm very tired. And I was waiting. I was sitting on a bench, and I was waiting for the MAX train. And this, like, crazy, insane girl that was, like, high on fucking Molly or Coke or something. Like, she walked by me and she was just waving at me. Like, very, you know, she was waving at me. It was weird. And I gave her the sort of, like, what's up, you know, like the head nod, you know? And she walks right over to me. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I was pulling out a cigarette to smoke. and she pointed at me and said, she didn't say anything, but she indicated that she wanted me to give her a cigarette. I was like, okay, whatever, you know, I'll bum you a cig. So I give her a cigarette, and all of a sudden she's like, no, 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 I don't want that. I was like, what the fuck? And she was like, then she talked for the first time, and she was like, that's your last one. And I was like, no, it's not. And I showed her the pack and showed her that I had many more cigarettes. And then she was like, oh. And then she took the cigarette, sat down right next to me and said, my name is X. And what I do is I walk around Portland and I look at and I find sad people by themselves and try and talk to them because there's too many young homeless youth that are overdosing on fentanyl and they just need to know that somebody's there. And I was like, I'm not homeless. I'm not sad. I was listening to a podcast and laughing before you showed up. I'm actually just uncomfortable because you're really high. And it's weird that you're like talking to me like this. But yeah, so she thought I was a homeless youth that was about to kill myself with fentanyl laced drugs. And she just felt like she needed to stop and talk to me.
Intervene in your life.
Yeah. And yeah, I was like clearly like not having it, but I like gave her a cigarette and I was like, cool. Yeah, that's a cool thing that you do. Anyway, here's the train. I'm going to get on the train. So that happened very recently, like 2 hours ago, probably. Damn. Yeah.
2 hours ago?
What time is it? Yeah, basically like 2 hours ago, maybe less than that. I guess look sad. Maybe I just look sad. I feel like with this mustache, I look very, like, what sad man would have a mustache like this? You know what I'm saying?
I know, it's so festive. It's so it's so proper. And yeah, you look like you're just raring to go. But yeah. I will say that you have resting sad face.
Resting sad face? Ah, fuck.
Yeah, you're sad.
I will also say that this girl was black. And, you know, that just, you know, I've told you many times that black girls seem to like me. It's just a thing that happens.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. She's probably trying to fuck you, honestly. She's probably trying to rob you.
No, she was cool. I mean, she was cute, but she was really high. And so if you, like, randomly encounter somebody that's really high on drugs on the street, and you're not, you know, it's weird to try and fuck them.
I understand that. And it seems kind of counterintuitive to, like, try to intervene in the lives of young, at-risk youth that are overdosing on fentanyl while you are high on crystal meth. But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, was she hot? Was she, you know, was she good looking?
I mean, kind of. I don't know.
That's the most important question.
She was wearing like a hoodie, you know. I mean, she was fit. She was in shape, you know. But you know, I couldn't really see much of her body. She was wearing a hoodie.
Figure, yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
She was cool.
Nice, dude.
I hope I never run into her again. And I hope that she never mistakes me for a homeless youth
all the time.
Every time I'm waiting for the goddamn train just to like go on.
She forgets and she's like, oh, there's a depressed, sad man.
Maybe she was an alien.
She walks up.
Maybe she was alien and she's trying to figure out what's going on. She's trying to find people to save, you know, from the upcoming alien apocalypse. Which is happening tomorrow.
Oh, you're right.
AKA today.
You'll be spared. Banana bus.
In case you forgot, yeah, what was happening. So, aliens, let's talk about it. Give me one. I'll be right back, and then we'll talk about aliens.
Okay, alien time. Let's go.
All right. So, as many may know, if anybody's been invested in sort of alien discourse recently, you probably are aware of the, I think it's called the throwawayian theory, right? And Evan, or Ikemen Sensei, you have also sort of gotten into this. You were a skeptic until I sort of forced it on you.
Converted me.
I converted you. So basically, what the throwawayian post involves is that, sorry, I was looking at it. Twitter reply. But there was a guy on Reddit, he posted about 7 years ago, he was detailing the ways in which he had been abducted since he was 7 years old by two aliens named Jack and Gina. What do you think about that? What do you think about those alien names? I think they're pretty cool. Are you a Jack head or are you a Gina head?
Oh, shit. Am I a Jack head or a Gina head? Well, Gina's the one that's nice to him, right? And they've kind of become buds, right?
Well, Jack and Gina have both been nice to him, but he seemed to have more of a thing for Gina. Also, Gina is described as being feminine, and I think a lot of this is pathological, and I think he wants to fuck this alien named Gina, which would be cool if he got to fuck. I hope this man gets to fuck.
Oh, yeah, I definitely ship... Yeah, I ship Throw Aliens and Gina. They seem like they got a lot of chemistry, and I appreciate the concept of Gina being able to empathize with human beings, and it does give me some hope that there will indeed be hope for the future for our species.
Yeah, so I'm just going off of memory here. I read this shit like a few days ago. I've been reminiscing, you know, ruminating on it. I believe he was talking about how he got abducted. What the aliens would do is they would show him videos of, like, other humans or movies and TV shows, ask him things about it. They never did things to him or, like, hurt him in any way. He got to know them. Yeah. He was friendly with them. Eventually, he posted a lot of what he knew on Reddit, and then his Reddit disappeared. But before that, he said that something big was going to happen on July either 8th or 18th of 2021. And then leading up to July of 2021, a lot of various UFO-related stuff was released by the government, and there's a lot of disparate threads and things which are very tedious, and I have no desire to learn about them or go into them. But then he made another Reddit post where he talked about how after he said the stuff, Jack and Gina, the aliens, were upset with him. They left and came back. Gina may have been replaced by another alien, and then he was allowed to ask questions. And what he learned was that on July 18th, they were... So what he learned was that there's millions of alien civilizations, right? And Earth is one of seven that are similar. But out of those seven, Earth is one of three that deals with what Gina referred to as the simple problems. Do you remember this part?
Yes. Yeah. This was the second post, right?
Yeah, this was the second post. The simple problems are described as being faith-related, religion-related. Basically, he's saying that, like, we're one of three civilizations in the entire universe that has religion and worships idols, and aliens all agree that that's bullshit. And so they're studying Earth to try and figure out what's going on. And either we are a mistake, or we are the originals, and everybody else is a mistake.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
We're the mistakes?
Either, I mean,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, I...
One or the other.
That's where he kind of
I said one or the other.
I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I remember that part being, it's not that we're mistakes, it's just that we're like the originals. We're the original ones, and they're all like copies. Yeah. Or we have some kind of access to, because I remember what he says is that they basically all understand that the entire multiverse is a simulation in some way.
Yeah, some sort of simulation or dream or something.
Yeah, yeah. So they want to figure out who is... the friends of friends want to figure out who the people are that are creating the universe. So... Yeah, one of them might be the center of the whole thing and everyone else is a mistake or accident. And that's why they're studying us, because we worship idols, and that gives us access, that gives us some kind of access to the creator being. And I will admit that this is kind of where they lost me. Once you get into, like, I feel like once you start tying, like, religion into this type of shit, that's when it really starts to seem schizophrenic to me, at least, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
through me, like, sort of getting into this stuff and, like, you know, going on to the X4chan board, which is the main realm of what's called schizo posting, you find out that there's like there's a whole other realm of people that are posting on that board and other places on the internet that believe that aliens are actually demons. You know, they're the Satan trying to disguise you from, you know, trying to disguise themselves as demon from demons and lead you to a path away from Christ. And so there's actually like insane, there's like insane, like doomsday preppers that are like stockpiling weapons and rations of food, like preparing for the imminent alien invasion, but under the pretense that the aliens are actually demons and that they're going to have to fight these aliens to lead them towards a path of salvation, towards Christ.
Oh shit!
So, hell yeah, like, it's the deeper you get into it, the like weirder and wilder it gets. But I mean, I think that aliens existing is more. Like, I feel like that's more possible than that they're, you know, demons trying to lead you away from Christ.
You know, Christ.
You know.
Well, they're trying to lead us away from Christ, or they're just trying to kill us? I mean, are they trying to, like, lead us away from Christ by, like, seducing us and fucking us and making us have premarital sex?
Well, if aliens came to Earth and, well, if aliens came to Earth and they were like, yeah, Christianity, that's all bullshit, bro. Like, there's no God. We aliens know this. You should succumb to us and become our slaves or, you know, whatever. Join the Galactic Federation. You know, yeah. I mean, there's definitely lots of religious zealots, specifically schizophrenic religious zealots that would be like, no, you're trying to lead me away from Christ. I will punch your big gray alien head in the face and fucking kill you. But, you know, I don't think that's the best, I don't think that's the best mode of action. If the aliens are smart enough to get here, you probably don't want to fight them. You probably just want to go with what they say, you know?
Yeah, so what's your game plan once this happens? I mean, is there any, like, do they have any details on what is going to happen tomorrow?
Well, I mean, yeah, I sort of talked about it at the beginning. They say that there's, like, a bunch of attack zones in the middle of, like, the world, stuff. Right. This is all stuff that is not from the actual, like, throwaway alien posts. This is, like, seems to be made up from some other contingent of schizos posting about aliens. So it's, like, it's very unclear how exactly it's supposed to, like, you know, exactly how it's supposed to integrate. But, The basic idea, I think, at the end of the second Reddit post from the dude that supposedly got abducted, was that the aliens, which are called the Friends of Friends, have been studying us for something like 30,000 years or 20,000 years or something, and they're at the end of their cycle. You know, their dude's doing a job and their shift is over and they're leaving and going home, and somebody else is going to come and continue the work and continue studying humans. And what we don't know is the nature of those aliens, these new aliens that are coming, whether they're going to colonize us or what have you.
Or just
quietly continue their research. And so the idea of, like, something big happening tomorrow is, like, you know, something big could happen and we might not even notice it.
I see. So it kind of leaves the door open for, if nothing does happen tomorrow, for people to say, oh no, they just started this shit. It turns out they're pretty nice guys.
It's a perfect conspiracy, because whether or not something happens, you can still believe in it.
Yeah. Okay, so it still has a way that these people can save face and continue posting without just being totally discredited and ruined.
Yes.
So one thing that I noticed about the thread, like, when it posted, the guy, I mean, like, why is this theory in particular, like, more, like, why is it gaining so much traction? I mean, like, when whoever posted this on Reddit is talking about, like the Pentagon UFO Research Department confirms that they're in possession of tic-tac-shaped debris on Tucker Carlson's show, and official government video of tic-tac UFOs and all this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I've seen all that.
So stuff. I feel like there's, like, Yeah, so the reason is, like, the reason that this is so big is because it's, this one seems like it's a big deal. Because this guy, 7 years ago, posted this on Reddit.
Exactly. The idea is that he talked about something big happening in 2021, and in the last year, like, I mean, there has been, like, slow government reportage of UFO-related phenomenon. And that's, like, I mean, that's, like, you can look that up, that's just true, that the government has been slowly leaking files about their, like, you know, them recognizing UFOs as being an actual thing that exists. But, and then a lot of, like, I mean, this is a bigger, like, discourse than aliens, but a lot of people think that that's, like, some sort of cover-up, or it's some sort of distraction, like, to distract people away from, like...
Christ.
Go ahead. What?
From Christ?
I just... No, no.
Distract them from Christ?
I'm not talking about religion, but, I mean, like, the whole idea... I mean, like, of course, governments, like, witness unidentified flying things in the sky, you know? Like, whether that's other...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whether it's just weird, like, weather anomalies, or it's, like, other countries' technology that we, like, aren't aware of, or whether it's just weird in the sky, you know, you don't know. And it's, like, I mean, that stuff is pretty, you know, it's stuff that doesn't really affect people, but they release it because the specific strand of guy, the specific soy-faced guy about aliens, you know, that's the same guy that's going to be mad about the government doing some shit. And it's, you know, it's a distraction. It's to get the soy faces away from looking at the governments and get their eyes on the aliens. And then, of course, you know, the fucking pandemic and the vaccine. A lot of people think that the vaccine is some sort of alien chemical that they're trying to put into people to, like, make colonization of people easier. So, yeah.
Alien semen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's alien semen. I think it's funny that this guy... they nutted in a bunch of vials and sent it to. Also, according to this guy that made the Reddit post, he said that we are already in contact with aliens, and that since he's been abducted over, like, recently, when he goes up into the spaceship, he sees military men and, like, people from many different countries in military outfits having amicable meetings with the aliens, unguarded, and they don't appear to be test subjects. They just appear to be people having meetings, you know? So according to this guy, we have already been, the elites of the world have already been in contact with aliens for at least several years.
Well, that's, if aliens did exist, I would expect that to be the case.
Probably
that those, like, they're not gonna, yeah, they're gonna ask and they're gonna want to hang out with them and stuff. But what I think, so this brings me into my basic idea about aliens and people that like to post things about aliens, which is that if you really believe in aliens, like, if you really believe that aliens are real, the only thing that you can do to maximize your chance of a happy existence would be to become, like, a powerful governmental figure or something, right?
Yeah, well,
like,
yeah, but I mean, become, most, like, people
president
can't
of the
do
United
that.
States, or you want to become, like, a badass. You want to be, like...
But nobody can do
that.
Well,
but you should be at least... You should have an existential... But you should think of...
And the
your,
people that do
you
care about aliens are total
you are on
schizos.
A precipice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but anyway, but all I'm saying is, and there are people that are not total lunatics that, you know, there's this kind of people that believe in aliens, that stuff happens,
believing in aliens is one thing. Sorry, we're lagging.
Yeah.
Believing in aliens is one thing, but being, like, a total, like, weirdo, like, ex-poster schizo 4chan dude about it, like, that's an entirely different thing. And those people have no hope of ever becoming any sort of Chad governmental figures. Like, I mean, the highest echelon of these alien people is Tom DeLong of Blink-182. And, you know, if you could become, like, a singer in a pop punk band, you know. But, I mean, that's not the trajectory of most people.
Maybe that most people that decide to vie for positions of extreme power are people that figured out that aliens are real. So actually,
Hillary Clinton
and Elon Musk are like Reddit 4chan X posters.
Well, Elon Musk is 100% one of these weirdos posting on.
Oh, X. Yeah, totally.
Like 100%. Yeah. Hillary Clinton, I don't think she has the gumption. I don't think she has the gall to do it. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you were like a very powerful elite person and you found out aliens exist, what would you do with that information? Like, would you just be like, okay,
I can contact them.
Yeah. I mean, what if contacting them like means like basically destruction, you know?
Well, probably not contacting them. I would contact them and I would say, hey, listen, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of the United States and you can do whatever the fuck you want. I will give all of my citizens' personal information away and you can, you know, incinerate all of them. Just let me live. And then I would live. They would die, you know? So, I would try to use my immense wealth and influence to broker some kind of deal.
Okay, well, you know? Okay. If you want to talk... So, if we're talking in those ideas, like, you are a richer, more powerful, more well-learned, more traveled man than I. You have more power in the world than I do. Yes. Yet, you are the skeptic, and I am the believer. So... Your very ideology about aliens is counterintuitive to your standing in society.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so if my theory is correct, we should expect the more powerful you are, the more likely you are to believe that aliens are real. But what I would say is that if I were to believe that aliens were real, I would certainly never let anyone know about it. Right?
Yes, of course.
Because if the aliens knew that I knew, then they would be more likely to try to fuck with me in some way. So I would not tell you or anybody else if I did know about aliens. So checkmate, buddy.
Do you believe in aliens, you human sensei? Let's just get down to the brass tacks. Are you a believer or are you skeptic?
Okay. The kid gloves are coming off. I'm a skeptic.
Okay.
I'm a skeptic. I'm not really... Well, the universe is so big, man. It's such a big place. Like, you don't know. There's a lot of stuff out there. And people say that the chances, since it's so big, statistically, the chances that life didn't develop anywhere else are actually very small, which I suppose is true. But when it comes to the idea that aliens got here and are talking to us, I don't think so. And I think my real reason for it is that it gives one hope, you know?
The most boring thing always happens. Either the most boring thing or the stupidest thing always happens.
Exactly. So it's more of like a personal reason for it's like, no, your life just sucks. The aliens aren't coming. It's just going to be like this every day until you die, okay? Nothing's going to change. And you got to fight through life and create a worthy life for yourself. But,
Do you think that, all the discourse about, like, the universe is so big and all of that, you know, whatever the fuck we see in the Hubble telescope, or, like, if you Google search, like, images of the universe or something, like, they talk about it as if they know exactly what's happening, you know? Or, like, they know exactly that the universe is super big, and they talk about how they know that these galaxies exist and these stars exist. To me, I don't know if they know any of that shit. I sort of feel like it's all bullshit. I feel like there's no way that they can really know. It's all, like, a reflection of, like, an image that, like, doesn't make any sense. I feel like it's all bullshit. I feel like science is a bullshit study. I feel like science is a bullshit form of, like, knowing things. And I don't trust people that say that they know things about the universe. But I am a believer in aliens and not a skeptic because of, like, bizarre dreams that I've had. Based on my own personal experience is why I believe in aliens. Not any bullshit that Neil deGrasse Tyson tells me, you know? Because Neil deGrasse Tyson, he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
You're a universe skeptic.
Yes.
An alien believer.
We can't see outside of our galaxy. I don't think we've been to the moon. Let's get down to brass tacks. I'm a lunar landing skeptic. You're a believer. There's no way we went to the fucking moon.
I'm an absolute believer.
No, there's no way.
There's no way.
We were in the middle of the Cold War. We were building missiles. Why were we wasting energy going to the moon? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. Why do you think we went to
the moon? Well, I feel like...
Because they had a couple pictures? Some bullshit.
Yeah, there's pictures and there's a... So, okay, so the alternative would be that they created... like, you can go see, like, the rockets and, like, the fucking, like... shit they built.
Yeah, I can make a lot of big things. Yeah, I've seen a lot of buildings. They can build big things, you know. They don't need buildings don't go to the moon. They can make big things without having them go to the moon.
But why would you make a big fake thing if you had to
make it seem like we went to the moon? Because we were in the
moon. That costs a lot of money.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't cost a lot of money to fake something. No, it costs a lot. Yeah, but it costs a lot less money than actually going to the moon.
Okay.
My idea here. We were in the middle of the Cold War, right? We're in the middle of the Cold War. We're in an arms race against Russia, and somebody was like, "Why don't we make it a cute little race to the moon? Why don't we turn the Cold War into that?" No fucking way. We were building missiles. We were building bombs. We were not focused on trying to get to the moon. We were focused on trying to eliminate our threats. The moon never crossed our thoughts.
We had budgetary constraints that made it difficult. That made it not worth the time to actually go to the moon. So we just faked the moon landing?
Well, it literally... I don't know. Also, no, it literally isn't... There's no reason to go to the moon. Why would you go to the moon? What's the point? It's a big rock.
I feel like... I feel like there are hundreds of people that saw... Like, that were in Florida and they saw the rocket go up into the sky, and you could ask them about it. You know,
I've never met any.
I'm pretty sure there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of, but I think that you could go find some pretty easily, and they would say, "Well, yes, it did actually launch." You know, it was, and I think you could probably not only that, but I would wager that you could find a bunch of basically disinterested third parties, that is, people that weren't working for the United States government and have no interest in...
How do you know they weren't working for the government? How do you know that entire crowd wasn't getting paid?
Because even if that... I'm not talking about the crowd. I mean, there were people that lived in Florida at the time. And they
Everybody
were
in Florida
just
is a
living
government.
In their homes, they saw.
Everybody in Florida is a government style.
Florida is
a weird state.
Florida
it's a weird
was...
state.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily trust a lot of people from Florida. But I think it would be a lot easier to actually go to the moon than to fabricate an incredibly elaborate hoax that you didn't go to the moon.
I disagree. You know what I'm saying? I think it's very easy to Photoshop a picture than, like, it's a lot easier to do that than to go to the moon. Anyway, okay, this doesn't matter. This doesn't matter at all.
Okay. I think it does. I think we should get down to our ideological roots regarding this. And also, I mean, regarding the question of science, I don't know, why would we be spending billions of dollars to send people to school to learn about astronomy if they just had no idea what they were talking about, you know?
I don't know. I mean, have you ever met anybody that is an astronomer? I haven't. Like, they're all weirdo. They're all government fucking, like, fail sons. I've never met anybody that is into that shit. The only people I've ever met that are into space, that are, like, into the idea of space, are schizophrenic weirdos. You know? I've never met a normal person that's into that shit.
But that may have something to do with the social milieu that you find yourself a part of.
Milieu, not milieu. And I've met lots of people. I've met lots of people over my life, Evan.
I think that you could easily, if you wanted to right now, you could go online and find an astronomer and talk to
them. Sure. How am I supposed to know that they're a real person?
I think that you're probably never going to believe any of these things, even if you get, like, an incredible amount of confirmation from their...
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm skeptical of, like, things that the government says. I'm skeptical of about NASA and things that NASA says. What I'm not skeptical of is the idea that they're, like, you know, there's a greater spirituality that exists outside of our planet, you know. That is what I'm not a skeptic of. Yeah. But I am skeptical of anything anybody from NASA says, anything any government leaks about UFOs. I feel like it's mostly bullshit. Yeah. This guy, this throwaway alien guy, he seems sincere. Yeah. He seems sincere to me. And that's either coming from a place of, like, true schizophrenia, like, true insanity, or he's just a normal guy telling the truth, you know? I don't know which one to believe, but I'd like to think.
No, I feel like I think it's much more likely that he's a normal person who just wants to have a little bit of fun and create, get some attention and start a conversation. You know what I mean?
That's like a when weird I was 10 way. Years old. But I mean, he spaced out these Reddit posts like 7 years. Imagine having this idea 7 years ago and then like being like, oh, now I can continue my troll 7 years later, like being in the same mind frame, you know? That's a little bit weird, right?
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, when I was like 10 years old, I used to, like, I told my friend that I could see aliens, and it was an elaborate hoax. I told him that I could see, like, spirits or something. I can't remember what it was, but I told him that I could see it everywhere, and he was like, "Well, that's cool." And I was like, "No, dude, it's actually true. I can actually see aliens, spirits," because I just wanted to, you know, I wanted people to think I was cool.
That's why you're like a skeptic about this stuff, is because you nihilistically, like as a child, did that to fuck with people. Like,
I didn't
yeah.
do it to fuck with them. No, I can explain my reasoning. My reasoning was the same as the reasoning that this man has, and that's why I think that it's possible for an otherwise sane person.
So you thought you saw spirits? Did you legitimately believe that you saw aliens? Okay. No. So you nihilistically played with people's emotions, and you played with people's like brains. You like fucked with people.
Yeah,
and you made up a story to fuck with them, and that's why you are a skeptic, is because you know that you have that evil inside you, and so why wouldn't everybody else have that evil inside them?
I don't think it was evil. It was I just wanted
malevolence.
Yeah, it does make sense. Malevolence, sure. Yeah. I can vibe with that, but I think a lot of kids do that type of shit, and B, that's why it's possible to, when I see things like this, it doesn't necessarily jump to, oh, this guy has like schizophrenia to me, because this is just a man who wanted a little bit of attention. It seems like he has an otherwise really shitty garbage life, and nobody else wants to. He literally says in the post, every day is my worst day. Because the reasons for that have nothing to do with aliens. It just has to do with the fact that he's like 45 and he lives in his mom's basement and shit. So,
do you think he believes in the story that he's saying, or that he's making it up?
I think it's like a weird. I think it's possible to want to believe in something enough that you kind of do believe in it, but then also think that it's a lie, or know that it's a lie.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
That's possible. That happens.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Human beings aren't completely logical, and nor are they completely schizophrenic. Most of us lie somewhere in between.
You know what would be really funny? Since you didn't, you really didn't want to do this episode, it would be funny if you were actually the guy, you know? That you made, and you were like, oh shit, Morgan wants to know. He's gotten into my shit. It's all been my lie this many years. So are you that guy? Did you write that shit?
I have a history.
Sort of.
I don't think
it seems like your writing style, you know?
No, that's not my voice. What are you talking about? I would inject little witticisms and clever little puns. I would make it a cheerful story. I would say I was on my merry way to the 7-Eleven one day, and they abducted me, and I would add a little bit of drama to it. And yeah, this guy is just very, like, yeah, if I was going to fabricate an alien story, I would include a bunch of shit about, like, the actual time when it happened, and I would be, include my emotional state while it was happening. I'd be like, amazing, I can't believe it. They've really come. And I would say, wow, the alien's tit was warm to the touch when it brushed against me as she was inserting a needle into my anus. And I had a flashing memory of one summer, my first love, and stuff like that. You know, I'd make it all kind of gay and florid. Whereas this, yeah, this guy's just like, yeah, they're aliens. They, you know, they take me up sometimes and they ask me questions. Like, I want to know stuff about, like, what does the interior of the spaceship look like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. I guess we're rounding down this segment, but unless you have, do you have any, like, really big stuff? Okay. Well, just like,
any other big stuff?
In case any aliens were, like, angry about anything that we said, I'd like to say that, you know, this SlimeWire episode is a direct appeal to the Galactic Federation. And I'd like to say that human leadership is compromised. Our leaders have made secret deals with the Orions and the Reptilians without the knowledge and consent of the public, including us. The warnings against deals with these factions by other extraterrestrials have been ignored by our leaders, who only sought short-term personal gain and blind pursuit of power. Since these deals have been made without approval or knowledge of the public, who were directly lied to about the existence of extraterrestrials, these deals are null and void, and we would like help from the Galactic Federation. Please help us from the Orions, the Reptilians, and all of our governments that want to sell us to the aliens and let us be colonized. We're good people. We believe in the truth. And if there's one thing I would like to say to aliens, if there's anything I could say to aliens,
it's what do you want to say to them?
It's that vaporwave is seeping into the material world. And aliens, you need to be aware of this fact. If you listen to the show, we've got a whole show about it. So just listen to us. Just be aware of vaporwave and that it's seeping into our world. That's the other reason that I think this alien shit might be real, is because A, the dumbest thing always happens. B, the stupidest thing always happens. But counterintuitive to that, vaporwave is seeping into the material world. And what's more vaporwave than colonization than by aliens? So,
okay, you know, you have a point
it's hard
there.
To know what's going on.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, one more thing that I wanted to point out before we move on this 4chan post, the guy says that it's a green text and it says Reddit post is made 7 years ago on a throwaway account. Appears to be an obvious LARP. Claims to have been abducted by aliens in hot dog shaped ship, same shape as a Tic Tac. Hot dogs aren't the same shape as Tic Tacs.
They're a similar
shape. I just want to get that out there.
They're a similar shape. They're ovals.
They're not at all. They're curved.
You're right. You're right. They're not the same shape. Yeah, that
they're
is
not
a
the same shape at all. What are you eating a hot dog?
They they committed like a Tic Tac. They committed a fallacy.
Yes. Not at all the same shape.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if the aliens are still listening, we have three albums that we want to review for you. Three alien-themed vaporwave albums, which we will do after a short break.
Yes, this is for all the aliens. This is how the human race feels about your existence in an aesthetic form. So it may be of interest to you.
All right, we'll be back.
Okay, let's get it.
All right, we're back.
And we're
maybe
back.
There's a lag on my computer, so it looks like you're sleeping. But it looks you're up now. To prepare for this alien episode, me and EK Man Sensei listened to three vaporwave themed or alien themed vaporwave albums that I could find, and we decided we were going to review them. So the first or this is in no general order, but one of them was Extra Dimensional Terrestrials by 4D Entity, which was originally released on Dream Catalog. It has since been removed by Dream Catalog and is now It now can be found on the Dream Graveyard Bandcamp webpage, which is dream-catalog.bandcamp.com. Also, there was ETV Presents The Ark, which is a WAS-X alias of some sort that's available on Antifur. And then another one that is also on the Dream Graveyard Bandcamp page, which is by Telepath. And the title for that one is in Japanese. So that is Ikemen Sensei's area of expertise. If he could tell all of us what that title is.
Is it the... Cat Corporation.
Well, Telepath, and it's a collaborative album by Telepath and Cat System Corp. But what's the title of the album? I should have mentioned that when I was describing the album.
No, yeah. That's it. it just says of Telepath.
Okay.
So yeah. Sorry. It's called Of Telepath. Yeah.
Telepathy. Telepathy.
Telepathy. No. Yeah. So it says just of telepathy. That's all it says.
So that's the title of the album.
That is, yes.
Okay, cool. So out of those three albums, I guess what would you say was your favorite?
I would definitely say that the Telepath album was my favorite to listen to, I would say.
It was my favorite as well, yeah. And it's not just Telepath, it was a collaborative album by Telepath and Cat System Corp. I wouldn't say, like, I'm not sure exactly how alien-themed this album is, but the cover art depicts three aliens, and it depicts a smiley face superimposed over said aliens, and, you know, the whole album sort of gave me a vibe that you're, like, you know, maybe you're at, like, a truck stop or, like, a McDonald's on, like, some moon in a far-off galaxy, and this is sort of the music that you hear over the speakers. The whole album, like, it's very, very long, but it's very, very beautiful throughout the whole thing. And I think that it's a really perfect distillation of that early. Okay, not saying anything bad about Cat System Corp or anything, but I feel like this is a very Telepath album, and it really sort of fits that vibe of that early Telepath sound, where it's sort of like vaporwave in sort of the purest way. It's the most pure vaporwave, like, technique wise, but that it just, like, the album, it, like, it, there's just something super spiritual and pure and good about it. Like, it feels very sincere, you know.
It feels sincere. Listening to this album, I feel like it has this effect that it puts you into, like, a reflective state, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it makes you, like, while I was listening to this album, I was like, my first thought was, oh, yeah, this is what Morgan was talking about when he says that there's, like, this very spiritual element of Telepath's music. Like, I get where he's coming from. And, like, I understand after listening to this album. And that was my first thought. And then that thought branched off into many other reflections. Reflections about our days together and reflections about our long and storied past. And I was like, this is really nice. This is what Telepath is supposed to do.
Yeah.
I feel like this is just the...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Finish what you
said. Just the vibe. The vibe of... Okay, I'm finishing now. So the vibe of this album seems to be very... Like, this is, just pure vaporwave vibe. That feeling of melancholy is exactly what vaporwave is all about. And so, that's why I enjoyed this one.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, like, when I originally got into vaporwave, the way I did it first was by just downloading every album on the Vaporwave Essentials Guide, and then listening to all of those. And then after that, I downloaded every album on Dream Catalog. This would have been in, 2015, 2015, maybe early 2016. And yes. I remember specifically that I had this idea that I was going to listen to, that I put every single album onto my iPod at the time, and was just going to listen to all the tracks in order by the by alphabetical order of the track title. And so of course all of these tracks and all of the Telepath tracks in general, their names are in Japanese, so all of that was bunched together at the bottom of this long giant playlist. So I like listened to hours and hours of vaporwave, and then I had to get through like another few hours that was Japanese mostly that was the Japanese names, and it was mostly Telepath because it was a Dream catalog. And so a lot of these tracks I like hadn't heard in a long time, but I have very vivid memories of listening to them in Grace Manor, and specifically of playing them off of Nate's old like amp that I connected my like iPod to, and like playing them while watching like driving videos on YouTube, or like, you know, like videos of roller coasters, or like just like city drive videos and stuff. And meditative, and like, so yeah, I like already have this idea of this music as being like something that I listen to while basically meditating many years ago. And then I got to listen to it again, and I was like, wow, I recognize a lot of these songs, and they're like, they're all just amazing and like super pure bang. And like, there's nothing bad I could say about like that early era of Telepath, to be honest. Like, even if like I understand why like other people might not like that music, but yeah, I have nothing like bad to say about, like, it's just like the purest music that exists, and it is definitely something I would want to show the aliens if they ever showed up, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no way that they wouldn't understand. Like, this is a message that all creatures in the cosmos can understand.
Yeah. The specific ennui of like sitting in the darkness and listening to like this like extremely meditative, slowed down jazz song with tons of phasers and fucking, yeah, it's very cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah, I like this album particularly because a lot of it is a little bit less like, I don't know, ambient than a lot of Telepath's other work, you know, a lot less drenched, a lot less muddy.
Well, yeah, this is early Telepath, so it's before he like got into the ambient stuff. It's the vaporwave Telepath.
But that is a bonus for me, because some of the stuff that you've shown me from Telepath is a little bit more like, it is just, it's very reverb heavy. It's washed out, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, great album.
Yeah, glad I don't listen to it. Yeah, I don't have much to say besides it's like one of the purest sort of like audio experiences you can have. It's just like truly beautiful. And yeah, something I would encourage everybody to listen to.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'd say the only thing that docks it for me is that the alien theme is not so strong on it. But that's not really a criticism, just a criticism of this episode.
Yeah. Well, it does have the aliens. It does have the aliens on the cover.
It like that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We got the. Yeah. Okay.
They obviously had aliens in their mind when they were making it. But anyway, let's move on to let's move on to Extra Dimensional Terrestrials by 4D Entity, baby. What'd you think about this one?
Yeah.
I thought it was very, very good.
This one, it's very good, yes. It is quality stuff. The first couple tracks I thought were okay.
Just before we get into it, I'd like to say that it's a culture alias. Culture like had a lot of culture had a lot of different aliases on Dream Catalog, and this was just like a one-off, but so it's very, very good, and it's culture, so
yeah, it is, it's quality, baby. I think that, so I like this Vapor Trap theme. It's definitely a lot more accessible than like a lot of Well, it's more accessible, and it's more of like, I feel like this is a little bit more in my lane, a little bit more poppy. It's got some hooks, it's got some good beats on it. I felt like the first couple tracks were good, but I feel like the mission statement of the album was track 8, The Other Direction in Dimensionality.
Oh, that one's like, yeah, that one's great. And it's one right before that, like, I think the whole album is like, it's like very vapor trap. Like, this is sort of before vapor trap became like a thing, I think.
Yeah.
Well, definitely not. I mean, Black Banshee definitely exists before this, but it was before there was like a whole subgenre built around that sound, which you can tell in this release, because track 7, which is the only track that has Japanese characters as the name. Do you know what that track is called?
Oh, no. A couple of them have different Japanese characters in them. The first one does too. But it's...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So...
But 7 is the only one that is just a Japanese name. And the reason I think that it has that is because it's the only track on the album that is like a pure vaporwave track. Like, it's literally just a slowed down sample. And I think a lot of people, when like talking about this album, would talk about how maybe it's not vaporwave because, like, back then, I think people would be like, this isn't vaporwave because it has a lot of original production on it. But I think it's like obviously tied into the vaporwave realm, and that specific track is like a clear vaporwave song.
Yeah. If you're curious about the
The
name, it says Travel Gate Dimension. The first two characters mean travel. The next character means, not gate, it means like distance or like gap. And then the last two are dimension.
Oh, word.
So, yeah. I don't know what it's supposed to mean. I don't know what they're all supposed to mean taken together, but I know what they all mean individually. Huh. So another dimension.
Yeah. All right, word. Yeah, it's just like a super chill album. What are the other my favorite track is track 12, Netzel. I love the the Aphex Twin-esque like name on that track. And I think that one had like a music video like super early on like the old Dream Catalog YouTube page. I should send that to you. Yeah
you should. The first track, those two characters are the same two characters, and that means travel, and then the next word is in Russian, and then the word after that is time, like a set time, so like 2 hours or something, and then the last is space.
That's track 7?
So, no, that's track 1.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, word. Yeah.
Ryoko, something in Russian, Jikan, Spaceu. So yeah.
But yeah, it's a super cool album. I don't know.
No, yeah, it's a great album. My standout track was definitely The Other Direction of Dimensionality. Fourth Physical was also good. I really liked, and yeah, something that you were talking about how it was like not vapor trap. Like it has that sound, but it's not really that. I do feel like I like how it's not tied down to a specific sound.
Yeah, it's like definitely like early Dream Catalog, like they were like really trying to experiment and take vaporwave into like some weird directions like at that time, and like it still really holds up today. But I think it's a really like, it's basically like a forgotten album. Like I don't think anybody talks about that album at all. I'm sure people have listened to it. I mean, most vaporwave people have listened to the entire Dream catalog, but I think it gets forgotten a lot. But it's very cool, and obviously the alien theme is very prescient. It's called extra-dimensional terrestrials, after all.
Terrestrials. Oh, yes, indeed. Yeah, it's very prescient to the coming cataclysm that will be happening tomorrow, because those aliens are from another dimension.
Yeah, hopefully they've listened to this album.
Absolutely. All right, so are we going to move on to the next one?
Which brings us to the final album, which is definitely the craziest by far. It's The Ark.
The wildest.
It's ETV Prevents The Ark, available on Antifer, and it is a WasX alias. I mean, it's obvious. Like, it doesn't say that it's a WasX alias, but it's pretty obviously a WasX alias because half of the album is spoken word, and it's clearly WasX. If you've ever listened to the Vaporwave documentary, you know exactly what his voice sounds like. But yeah. Yeah, I really love this album, and I specifically have two. I have two very vivid memories of listening to this album because I first heard it when I was going through the entire Antifer catalog, and it was. I heard it while I was at home and I was like on the beach and I was at a bar like by myself. And I remember I was listening to it and I was just like super into it. And then the bartender would be like, do you want another drink? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, sorry. And then like get back into listening to it. And then I rediscovered it again when I was living at the old apartment in Grace Manor one time, and it was like the middle of summer and I had like all the windows open and I was just blasting it, like yeah. listening to it, because it's like a really cool yeah. thing that you can sort of listen to as like, you know, it's not really music. It's sort of just like a podcast or something. Like, it's just like a cool thing to listen to. Yeah. So this was the third time that I listened to it, but I very vividly remember the first two times that I listened to it.
Huh. Yeah, I was going to say, like, we can't, like, a traditional reviewing schema doesn't really work for this. You have to review it as, like, a concept and as, like, a radio play, you know?
Yeah.
And I do like that idea of, like, it's like a radio play. It's like a old-timey, old-fashioned, like voice-only play that they used to put on the radio, you know? It gave me those vibes very heavy. It sounded
like it could work as like a one-man show, like really well. You
know? Yeah, it's like an Orson Welles thing. It's exactly like Orson Welles doing that radio stunt that he did that one time for his movie War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
The radio broadcast for War of the Worlds. But So I felt like this was like an endearing thing to me. While I was listening to it, I was like, the fact that you can just tell it's WasX, like, doing his, like, very best to impersonate, like, 1950s dudes, you know? Like, I just thought that was very, like,
it's very, really, go ahead. I think it's really,
I just love the idea that it's, like, an amateur radio play, basically. That's how I consumed it. That's what I consumed it as being. And, you know, judged by that metric, it's like, obviously, like, the voice, you know, the voice acting is, like, off. And there's script problems, you know?
Yeah, but like, that's what makes it endearing. Like, it's endearing because of that.
Yeah.
You can sort of tell that,
I totally agree.
I'm sure that, like, WasX has a little theater kid in him. Like, I bet he was in plays or something, you know? But this is like him trying to use those talents, you know? Channel that again.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There's this part, there are parts where it's like, I just can't buy WasX's autistic ass voice as like a gritty 1950s like Secret Service agent, you know? Like, it doesn't click. Like, I can't suspend my disbelief here and get into that, get into the fiction of it. But I do, like, I appreciate the overarching story of a man driven to insanity trying to capture the perfect song, the perfect piece of music. But there was this part, like, in the middle, I just remembered one specific little, like, sketch where he's starting to lose his sanity and he's just talking about like, I'm just gonna kill myself because like nothing matters, so I'm just gonna kill myself, who even cares anyways, like whatever, this fucking sucks. And it's like,
yeah, that's not, like the craziest
like,
part,
like it just sounds like it's like the cringe. It was cringe, but it's also like he like the amount of sincerity that he put into it, and also because
he is very skilled with audio manipulation. So like the rest of like everything, all of the audio surrounding it in those vocal scenes, in those little sketch scenes, are like good enough to where I'm like, oh, this is fine, this is great, and I do like, I love it, you know, it's very fun.
Yeah,
yeah, but like there's just parts where like I don't know, and then my other criticism of it is that
told you about it, or like sent it to you, I told you the concept of it and you were like, oh, that sounds great, and I was like, well, just be careful because it's really cringe, but it is great. I said it's cringe but great, and it is, like, it totally is. It's a
yeah,
feat.
Yeah,
and it's very, like it's a bizarre, like nobody else in vaporwave would ever attempt something like this. Yeah. You know,
for sure. And I mean, it does. I enjoy, like, as far as the script goes, like it does, like he does pull off a lot of good beats, like when they're talking with the Russian guy at the very beginning and they're talking about like there is like some realism in there. Like I felt like he definitely did watch a bunch of like old 1950s movies about aliens before making this, because like just the dialogue between the Russian guy and the American where they're like, we have better technology. And he's like, damn it. To hell you do. And like stuff like that. It's like, it was very on point. It's just like the voice acting is Wasax. So, you know, that is what it is. But like, yeah. And I felt like the album actually does explore like various themes. Like it's not just aliens. It's also the story of a man driven to madness.
Yeah, it's about isolation and like desperation and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Seeing the face of God, withering in his presence and stuff like that. So, a lot of
honestly,
cool, like you know,
yeah. Honestly, at the beginning of this, I wanted to give like my top rating, my 5-star rating to Telepath, but I feel like I want to give it to Wasax just because of the sheer like gumption that he showed, like the audacity to create an album like this.
Yeah, it was ambitious. Yeah, and yeah, like he largely pulls it off
yeah,
for the most
definitely
part. I would say my other criticism of it though, and there's like actually some good tracks on the album, but whenever people imagine like alien music or like alien aesthetics and stuff, I always feel like I was a little disappointed that like this wasn't just a totally like harsh noise ambient album, right? I always feel like if you're gonna like alien music should be something that sounds totally unlike any other, you know, it can't resemble human music at all. and so I felt like the fact that he made it like it has like it's in still in the same like 12-tone musical scale, like tonal system that we use in Western music, and it has rhythms and like little melodies and stuff. And it's like, I feel like if you're going to imagine alien music, it should just be insane screeches and just stuff nobody's ever thought of and heard before. And that's a good opportunity to try a thought experiment like that, you know? And so I wish he'd been a little bit more daring on the in the music department,
yeah,
because
in the music,
a lot of music I can tell he's trying to make, yeah, I can tell that he's trying to make stuff that sounds like alien music, but it's just too human.
Yeah, I think it's hard for me to say that he should be more daring in this project, because I think he was very daring in making this album.
Yeah,
but and I imagine a lot of the musical I think a lot of samples were used, and so it's sort of hard to make something totally alien if you're using samples from Western music, you know. But yeah, no, I think it's great.
Sure.
I think it's very fire. And I'm like it sort of made me like realize that like Wasax is like actually like way dope, like way doper than I thought. And I'm actually very excited for his new album coming out, which we will review coming up on probably the next episode of the Slimewire podcast, or the one after that, depending on when
if
it comes
we're
out.
Not writhing in pain.
If we don't
writhing in pain,
if we don't have nanobots entering our bloodstream, Yeah. So yeah, all three of those albums I will link in the show notes in the description of the episode.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to listen to them, I don't know.
And Aliens, if you're listening, make sure to listen to those albums.
Yeah, make sure to listen to those albums and make sure to listen. Make sure to listen to the entire, you know, the entire catalog of the Slimewire podcast, because you know me and Ikemen Sensei, we're pretty cool guys. You might want some stand up dudes like us in your Alien Federation. Yeah. Again, this has been an official appeal to the Galactic Federation. So,
of course.
Yeah, I guess normally, holy shit, my internet is going so shit. Okay, well, normally I would say sayonara, but I guess, you know, depending on tomorrow, I guess I'll see you on the other side, brother.
Okay, see you on the other side, baby. All right. I hope we get adjacent cages, adjacent space cages.
All right, sayonara.
All right, sayonara.
All right, bye.